Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 2. This week we're jumping back into our latest series titled The Force Awakens, right? Which is, as you know, it's a funny title that I stole from the latest Star Wars movie. As a matter of fact, now, when I first presented this this series title, our children's pastor Sheila was in here, and now as she has taken on more hours at the church, we have a regular staff meeting on Monday mornings to kind of talk through what went on this week and all these kind of things. And I don't know if you've been down in her classrooms, but as she does stuff down there, she is like has all these props and cool things for the kids. Like they're going through this whole kind of boot camp thing right now, and the room down there, the first or fifth grade room, it looks awesome. It's just like decorated with all this kind of military look, and it's beautiful. And so she's telling me like I need more props and stuff. And so she put on my thing this morning, this little Darth Vader can here. It's actually a piggy bank. I wonder if maybe we need to start taking offering with this. Just pass this around, right? You know, I don't know. But she's telling me I need more props and stuff. So I guess here, this is my prop for today. This is my little Star Wars Force Awakens Darth Vader prop for up here in the main service. But she's like, come on, man, you need to get more. Go back to your youth roots, you know, and you've got to have cool things up here, you know, and stuff. So I don't know. She said, you just watch. I'm going to start putting things up throughout the sanctuary as each week you're going to come in and there'll be like new things going on and stuff. So anyways, but man, I'm going to get so off topic right now. I'm going to have to edit this, but that reminds me, okay, I got to tell you this funny story, and this has nothing to do with my sermon, okay? So when I was a youth pastor in Eugene, I was a middle school pastor and we had the high school pastor, and there was this, it was when the first set of Star Wars movies was coming out, the Revenge of the Sith. It was coming out, and so there was this big promotion at Fred Meyer's down there in Eugene, and they when the promotion was over, they had this drawing for this big, huge Darth Vader that actually talked. So it was one of those ones in the store that when you walked by, it had motion sensor, and it would say something, you know, like, Luke, I am your father, you know, give in to the dark side, or whatever it is, you know. And then it was like, what was the one saying was like, the force is strong in you, I see, or something like that. I don't know what it is, but give in to the dark side, all these weird little sayings, right? Well, the high school youth pastor, he won this drawing, okay? And so he was like really stoked and excited. He's like, I'm going to put this in my youth room, you know? And what high schoolers wouldn't think this is cool having their youth room, right? So they have this Star Wars thing, and when you walk by it, it says these things. Well, the thing is on Wednesday mornings, there was this prayer team that would come and that would meet in the youth room, right? And pray. And so one day they're praying, right? And in the midst of their prayer, it was like, give in to the dark side. Freaked these ladies out, okay? They thought it was like demon-possessed and something was operating through this Darth Vader thing. And the pastor actually asked him to remove it out of the youth room because of that. But it was this funny thing. And so I'll make sure that if I do get props, they don't, in the middle of my service, say something like, give in to the dark side or something like that, all right? But anyways, like I said, I'm getting off topic here. But it is, the title of this series is The Force Awakens, and it kind of goes with that movie. But as I mentioned before, I think it's a perfect title for this series. And the reason is this is because the book of Acts is where we see the power of the Holy Spirit, this amazing force of God poured out onto the followers of Jesus. And in chapter 2 of Acts, which we're going to look at today, we see the force of God awaken in the hearts of His followers. And so I think it's a great title that kind of goes with what God was doing here in the book of Acts. Now, as we're diving back into this, we took off last week, but as we dive back in, if you remember in chapter 1, Jesus told His disciples to go and to wait for God, right? To go wait for this gift that He was going to give to them. And so the first couple weeks in this series, we talked about waiting on the Lord and how waiting doesn't mean just sitting around twiddling your thumbs, right? I'm waiting on God. You know, we get that all the time. I'm like, okay, He said, go, go, okay? Quit waiting, all right? But we get this thing. It doesn't mean just sitting there twiddling our thumbs. Instead, they gathered together. They prayed. They read the scriptures. They sought the Lord as they waited and trusted for this gift to be poured out upon them. And so now here we are in chapter 2, and they're about to receive this gift. They're about to experience this spiritual breakthrough that we talked about a few weeks ago. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Acts chapter 2. We're going to read the first half of it here, verses 1 through 13. This is what it says out of the NIV. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, I don't know, I'm making all these up anyways, okay? Egypt, phonics doesn't always work, okay? And the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" All right, and we're gonna stop there this morning. Now, this is a powerful scripture, and this is a huge scripture here. And as we read these scriptures, I'm guessing that there might be some of you here in this room that are thinking, yes, this is what being Pentecostal is all about. You know, and you've got these thoughts, you're like, yeah, preach it, brother. All right, this is what I'm here for, right? Well, then there's others of you in this room thinking, oh boy, if it gets all freaky up in this place, if this pastor starts shaking and doing weird things, then I'm out of here, right? And then there's still some of you that are like, this is new for you, and you're like, what is he even talking about? What's going on here, right? Now, I say these things because the truth is, I've seen all sides of the spectrum when it comes to these scriptures, okay? From the, you know, the crazy Pentecostals over here swinging from the chandeliers, okay? You know, we've heard that saying maybe, you know, the Pentecostals swinging from the chandeliers. You know, so I've seen this side. But then I've also seen this conservative side over here where, you know, our hands are at our side and we don't, you know, do anything or even move to the music. Man, that would be wrong, right? So I've seen all spectrums here of how people can take this message and process through it. But here's the thing. My goal today is to simply share what I believe these scriptures mean for each of us as followers of Christ. Because these are some powerful scriptures that shaped the beginning of the early church. And here's the thing. In my opinion, aside from Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, that right there, the death and resurrection, that's the most powerful thing we see in the Scripture. But aside from that, this is one of the most important moments in the Bible. One of the most important moments, I believe, in the history of mankind, besides what I mentioned already. And that's because it's at this moment that everything changes for anyone who calls themselves a follower of Christ. But for us, I think, to truly understand this and to explain why I believe this, I think we have to go back in time, all right? We actually got to go back to the beginning of time for us as humans, okay? We all know the story of Adam and Eve when God created them in the beginning, right? When they walked and talked with God, but then what happened? They sinned. They ate of the fruit. And what did it do? It separated them from God. It brought this separation. They could no longer just walk and talk with Him in the way that they used to. Everything changed at that point. This separation pulled them away from God. But little did they know that God was working out a plan to once again reunite Himself with man and woman. So at this point, though, after the fall, God was distant. He only spoke at certain times through certain people, through maybe certain prophets or certain kings and priests. And if you look at the end of the Old Testament, many years went by that He didn't even speak to anybody or through anybody. There was this separation from God, and that is until He became Emmanuel, right? We all know the Christmas story where Jesus came to this earth as a baby, as Emmanuel, which means God with us. He came to this earth as God with us. He actually came as a human and lived amongst the people of this earth. God Himself walked on this earth in the form of a man named Jesus. And the sad thing is, many people were oblivious to the fact that God was here among them, with them. And when they did begin to realize it, what did they do? They killed Him. But thankfully for us, He was God, and so He didn't stay dead, right? He rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death. And that brings us back to where we started here in the book of Acts, right? Where He had risen and he spent 40 days with them. We talked about that the first week. And then He told the disciples to go and wait for the Father's gift. Now, they didn't know what that was, but they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. And then we read earlier in Acts this morning where they finally received the gift. And in verse 3 it says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rest on them. And verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me explain what's going on right here in these scriptures, okay? All throughout the scriptures, you will see times where the Spirit of God is represented by fire. So when these men see this fire enter the room and it separate on to each person, they knew that this represented the Spirit of God. And it didn't just come and be in the room, as I said, right? It came and it separated onto every single person in that room. There were 120 of them at this time. And it separated. So it's this weird picture, but this picture of this fire coming and resting on the heads of all 120 of them. And it probably looked, you know, tongues of fire, it says. See that little fire I have on my little illustration? I put that up there because it represented something like this. This little tongue of fire. It looks like a tongue, kind of, you know, this tongue of fire on top of their head. And it represented the Holy Spirit. And this moment is significant because this moment changes everything. And here's why. Because it was at this moment that it went from God just with us to now God in us. His Spirit now is in us. No longer is God this distant God that only speaks through the prophets or through the kings or through the priests. And no longer is He just God who is with us if we happen to be around Him. Now He is God in us. His Spirit now comes and lives and rests upon us. Which, listen to this, because this is powerful, and maybe you've heard this before, but it means this: the same Spirit that lived in Jesus and gave Him the power to do the things that He did, the same Spirit that lived in Jesus is the same Spirit that now lives in us, that comes and rests upon us. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, a part of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, a part of the Trinity, now resides in us as followers of Jesus. And that Spirit gives us the power to be His witnesses throughout the world. It's that Spirit that gives us significance. It enables us to actually operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. It enables us to connect with the Father. He's no longer distant. He's right there. You know, in the end of Acts 1, they were making some decisions. You may remember deciding who would replace Judas. And what did they do to replace Judas? They cast lots, right? They did this because they had no way to communicate and hear with the Lord. So they just kind of trusted that, okay, God, I want to roll the dice here, and You're going to make the dice do what You want it to do. But they don't have to do that anymore, because now they can connect with the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And it's through the power of the Spirit that we're able to do and be who God wants us to be, do the things that He wants us to do. You see, without the Spirit, we can do nothing. But through the power of the Spirit, we can do all things. You see, this moment changes everything. Now, I want to share one more scripture with you today as we talk about this idea of how this changes everything. And this scripture tells us why it's so important that we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you may have heard me reference this scripture before, but it's found in Colossians 1, verses 26 through 27. I'm going to put it up on the screen here, and I'm going to read it to you. This is what it says. It says, "The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people." Now, what is that mystery? It's the Holy Spirit, right? And so to His people, verse 27, it says, "To them," to the followers of Christ, "to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is," and here's the key right here, "which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, do you hear that? Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Christ in you, His Spirit in you, makes you the hope of glory. It means that you are the hope of glory to people out there in this world, to your neighbor that doesn't know Jesus, to your coworker that doesn't know Jesus. You are the hope of glory. It means that we're able to be hope to anyone we come in contact with through the power of Jesus in our life. It's not us that brings hope. It's Christ in us. Now, the problem is many of us have trouble believing that we can be hope for anything. What? You don't know me, Darren. I can't be hope for anything. I mess up all the time. I'm this, I'm that. You know, we have all these excuses. How can I really be the hope of glory to someone? Well, let me ask you this. How could 12 ordinary men change the world? How could Peter, a gruff fisherman, who failed and abandoned the Lord at His deepest, darkest moments, when Jesus needed His disciples the most, what did they do? They scattered and left. And Peter said, "I will die with You." Where was he? He was hiding, denying Jesus. How could Peter, a gruff fisherman who failed and abandoned the Lord, later raise the dead and make the lame to walk? How did his life change so dramatically? Just through the power of the Spirit in his life. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, right? Through Christ in us who makes us the hope of glory. Now the problem is, a lot of times in our world, in our society today, when someone needs prayer or wants to give their life to Jesus or is just looking for help, what do? We say, well, let me see. I gotta call my pastor. I gotta find someone who knows how to do this, right? We think we need to find a pastor to take them to. But why? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you have? Or excuse me, let's reverse that. What do I have that you don't have? My kids have stuff on my iPad, and it's like popping up telling me warnings. Oh, this game, you got to do this. This game, you got to do that. I'm like, what in the world is that noise? What's that? Yeah. Whoa, man. Perfect timing there. What do I have that you don't have? No, I'm sure we all have kids that mess with our things that we don't know they messed with, right? But when it comes to the Lord, what do I have that you don't have? The same Spirit that's in me is the same Spirit that's in you, right? Christ in all of us is the hope of glory. And here's the thing, if people have come to you, then I believe this, God has given you whatever gifts you need to help them. And I know this can be a challenging thing. I remember when I was in Newburgh, middle of church, and I, you know, my responsibility was making sure everything was running, and a lot of times I'd go out and check on things. And I was out kind of checking on things, and one of the second grade teacher grabs me. He's like, Darren, I need your help. One of my second graders wants to receive Jesus, and I need some help. And I'm like, what? Just lead him in the prayer. Don't you know Jesus, right? I hope so. You're teaching the Sunday school class. And he's like, yeah, but I'm not good at this stuff. I need you. So I came and helped. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come and show you how I would walk a kid through just asking God for forgiveness and saying, Jesus, come into my life. But next time, you're going to do it. Don't come looking for me this next time, right? And a lot of times we think we need help. But Christ in us, the hope of glory, if they came to you, He gives you what you need for those moments. Now, a lot of times we say, well, what? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Well, here's my thing. Because guess what? That's the same thing with me half the time, okay? I can't tell you how many times, especially as I first became a pastor, people walked into my office and said things to me, and I'm like, what do I do, God? How do I deal with this situation? And you know what I did? I just said, hey, can we pray? Can we pray? If you don't know what to do, pray. Philippians 4:6 says, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. If you're confronted with a situation or someone comes to you, you're like, oh, I need some help. I'm here to help, and we can have people that help you. But I really believe if God's brought them to you, you're there in that moment and you can help them. And so maybe you don't know what to do, but pray. Don't worry whether or not you have what it takes, or worry about whether you'll say the right things. Because in those moments, it's amazing to me how often I say things, and I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, a lot of times we want to be like, yeah, that was pretty good, oh, yeah. But don't do that, okay? Boast in the Lord, all right? Don't be like me sometimes, okay? Because the reality is, that was the Lord. He was speaking in and through you. He was giving you what you needed for that moment. That's the power of the Spirit in our lives. we're going to see next week is Peter, all of a sudden after this, gets up and begins to speak the truth. And thousands of people are saved because of it. The same Peter, like I said, that had just denied the Lord. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in and through us. If you don't know what to say, just pray. Pray for them. Just love them. Just listen to them. Do what God puts on your heart. Trust in the power of the Spirit. I think a lot of times, it's interesting, I've had people say to me, I sometimes hear my own voice say things in my head. Could that be God? And the answer, yeah. I think it can be. Especially if it lines up with the Word of God, if it's something that's uplifting, that's encouraging. Now, if the voice in your head says, tell that person he's a jerk and you don't want to be around them anymore, then that's a different voice in your head, okay? But I really believe the Lord, it's that still, small voice. But the more we learn to listen to His voice, the stronger and louder that voice gets. Do whatever the Lord puts on your heart. You see, in Acts, as we get into it, you'll see they didn't say, oh, wait, I got to go find one of the main disciples, or I got to go find the pastor. Wait, Jesus isn't here anymore. What am I going to do? Right? They didn't do that. God had empowered them. And right there on the spot, right there in that place, most of the times, they would just pray and people would be healed and their lives would be changed. That's the power of God's Spirit at work. I think the reason we don't see the Spirit as often as we did back in those times is because we don't operate in it out there. We've gotten into this place where we only operate in the power of the Holy Spirit in church. I want to go to these worship services because I feel all goosebumpy and good, right? But then what happens after the service? Well, then we go out and we don't do anything. And we get caught up. And that's why I think the movement of the Spirit, we don't see it much because we don't operate in it. The Spirit, it's not just for inside the walls of the church. The 120, yeah, they were gathered and the Spirit fell upon them. A lot of times it's in these places where we can have the Spirit move in our lives. But the Spirit isn't for church. It's for us to go out into the world and to be His witnesses to those around us, to make a difference. We come and we go out with the power of the Spirit to where we are changing our neighborhoods. We are changing our workplaces. We're changing our community for Him. And I have gotten completely off my notes, but that's okay. See, God has called all of us to be ministers. Oh, wait, that's your job, isn't it? Well, I'm a pastor, and there's things I do, but my job is to help encourage and equip you for the work and service of the Lord to go out. We're all called to be ministers outside the walls of this church. The thing is some of us are just disguised, right? I don't get to walk around in disguise. Everybody knows who I am. But some of us are disguised, you know, whether that's contractors or police officers or mothers or businessmen. It doesn't matter what disguise you wear. What matters is that Christ is in you, which makes you the hope of glory wherever you're at. I think we as Christians do a good job of overcomplicating everything. We've done that in the church a lot. Well, you know, to really operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, you got to come to church. You got to stand up here. You know, I got to lay my hands on you. You got to like weird out or something. I don't know why we feel that. You know, you got to do this. You got to do that, and you got to go through all these steps before you can really go out there. But we didn't see that, right? We overcomplicate things. God is about simplicity, and He uses simple, ordinary people to change the world. Again, as we continue to walk through the book of Acts, I think we'll see some practical ways that we can operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we think of the movement and the power of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times in church settings, our mind goes back to the old days of Pentecostalism, right? where the church services got a little crazy. It's where that mindset of swinging from the chandeliers came from. You know, people were bouncing off the walls. People were falling down. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that God didn't work in those services, because I think God sometimes moves in specific ways and in specific situations, okay? But we get this idea in our minds then that that's the only way the power of the Holy Spirit works. But that's not how it was in Acts. Yeah, we have this moment where we see, you know, this rushing wind, the tongues of fire. Things may seem a little odd, right, as people are speaking in tongues and people think, are they drunk? What's going on here? But if you read on in this chapter, Peter stands up and begins to share what's going on. And as you continue in the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit at work everywhere. Not just in that little setting, not just in the upper room. Most of the time, when we see the amazing stories throughout the book of Acts, where we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's outside the walls of the church. It's the people of God going and being the church to the people around them. When Peter and John were walking to the temple, they weren't in the temple. They were walking to the temple. They weren't inside praising and worshiping. It was on their way to the temple there at the gate that they saw the crippled man begging. And Peter said, I don't have any money, but what I do have is the power of the Holy Spirit. And what did he say? He just said right there. He didn't say, come inside to the church service and we'll pray over you and we'll dance around you and we'll hope that God does something amazing. No, right there in that moment, he just said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it says he got up, leaping and praising God. You see, God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit for a purpose. And it wasn't for us just to come to church to get all, again, you know, goosebumpy, using this amazing gift here only. No, he gave us the Spirit so that we can use it out there in the world to be a difference. One of my things as we walk through the book of Acts, as we even look at this chapter, is I want people to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is not freaky. It's not. We are the freaky ones at times. We are the ones that get crazy sometimes and do stupid things. We're the ones that scare people away. It isn't the Holy Spirit that scares people away from the church. The fact is, the Holy Spirit is an amazing gift that God has given to each of us, and it's the Holy Spirit that draws people to the presence of the Lord. And Acts 1:8 tells us the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit, to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. And the only way we're going to be His witnesses is if we're learning how to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're being the hope of glory to this world. You see, when the disciples operated on their own, what happened? They failed. They messed up miserably. They fell short. But when they operated in the power of the Holy Spirit, they changed the world. This scripture, this moment in time, it changes everything for any of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus. It opened up the door for all of us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. No longer is Christ distant. He now lives in us. It brought Christ from out there to Christ right here. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we doing with Him? What are we doing with the Spirit? Are we tapping into its power? The power to love? The power to forgive, the power to be a witness, the power to make a difference? Or are we just allowing the Spirit just to sit in there and do nothing? I want to share an illustration with you this morning. I shared this illustration probably like when we first started the church, as I talked of the Holy Spirit about 3 or 4 years ago. But I wanted to bring it back because I had so many people comment about it. And I figure there's many people that are here that weren't there back then. But it's a great illustration of the Holy Spirit and God at work in our lives and God's desire to see the Spirit move. And so I wanted a clearer picture. I don't know, we're remodeling downstairs. I can't find our clearer picture, so I'm hoping that this works, all right? So this is us. This milk represents our lives, our soul, our heart for the Lord. I won't get it too full. I don't want to spill milk all over. This chocolate, yummy goodness right here, this is the good stuff. It represents the Holy Spirit, okay? Now the thing is when we accept Jesus into our life, there's this indwelling of the Spirit. The Spirit comes and lives in us, okay? So this is what this represents. This is the Holy Spirit coming in, dwelling in our lives. Oh yeah, all of it. I want all of it, Lord. More, 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 right? But this here is how a good portion of us go through life. The Holy Spirit comes in, right in, you know, and we don't do anything with it. We don't use the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's in there because we said yes to Him, but we just try to keep living life. And what happens? We fail. We keep messing up. We keep sinning. And we keep coming, oh God, forgive me, I'm so bad. You know, and we all do this. And we do this at times even when we have allowed the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. But this is a picture of what our life looks like. And the key to operating in the power of the Spirit is that we have to stir up His Spirit in our lives. Every day. I don't believe it that, you know, you hear the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We as a Foursquare church, you know, we believe Jesus Christ is the soon and coming King. Jesus Christ is our healer. Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is our soon and coming King. That is the Foursquare gospel in a nutshell. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which scares people because they think of this story and they think of this freakiness and all this craziness. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply something that I believe happens daily. That daily we have to stir up the Spirit in our lives. And we do that by seeking Him, by praying, by reading the Word. And as we begin to do those things, we begin to stir up the Holy Spirit in our lives. And instead of Him just being this thing that's just in there and not being used, then He becomes a part of who we are. And you know, the gifts of the Spirit, right? You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things, we think, man, I'm a Christian. How come I can't get those things right? It's because we're not stirring up the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives where we can then begin to operate and be. And so now we don't see these two separate, white on top, the chocolate on the bottom. We see this delicious chocolate milk that I want to take a drink of right now. But it's the best illustration or picture that I can give you when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory happens when we begin to stir up that Spirit. That hope of glory doesn't happen when we don't do anything with it. When we're not seeking God, when we're not stirring up. Every day we need to be stirring up the Spirit. We need to be seeking His will. And we do that, why? So that each of us can truly be the hope of glory. Let me just say that one more time. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hear that. Receive that. No, it's not you. It's the power of the Spirit. When we begin to live it out, when we begin to read our Word, when we begin to pray and seek Him and allow His Spirit to operate in us, we become the hope of glory to those around us. If every Christian in this community could grab a hold of this, imagine what the city of Dallas would be like and the surrounding areas. It's a beautiful picture of what God wants to do in each of us. It's a gift that He's given us. He's given each and every one of us this gift so that we can connect with Him, that we can communicate with Him. It's not weird and freaky, all right? It's only weird and freaky when you make it weird and freaky. Now, are there things that come with the gift of the Spirit that we don't always understand? Yeah. But as we continue to seek the Lord, that's what the Spirit's about. He begins to show us and help us understand. You know, this thing, they start talking about these speaking in different languages and tongues. And that's what many people, I'm out of this church, forget it, I'm gone. Because it seems like this scary thing. But when we understand the Spirit and we allow Him, the Lord begins to reveal what those things are. And those who have a what we call a spiritual language, they're able to just pray in the Spirit to the Lord. And there's different types, and we are going to get into some of those a little bit in the next several weeks of talking through what that looks like. But the key is this, is this gift that God gave us, it changed everything. It opened up the opportunity for us to have direct connection to the Lord and to live the life that He's called us to live. And that's what the power of the Spirit is about. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this day. We thank You so much for these Scriptures that You've given to us, Lord. And Lord, we know, I believe, that this Scripture that we read this morning, Lord, is beyond the death and resurrection of Jesus. Lord, it's one of the most powerful Scriptures in the Bible as it talks about this opportunity that we have to once again be connected with You, the power of the Spirit, Christ in us. And You in us makes us the hope of glory to those around us, Lord. And so we thank You for this word. We thank You for the encouragement, Lord. And I know as we sit here, there's many people in this room that still doubt how they can be the hope of glory. But Lord, the power of the Spirit does amazing things. The power of the Spirit helps clean us and make us whole in You, helps us to realize, Lord, that we've all failed, we've all fallen short. But like Peter, now we can step up and be a new creation in You, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit that operates in our life. And I just pray You continue to teach us, Lord, how do we walk in the power of the Spirit? How do we allow Your Spirit to fill us each and every day that we can be the hope of glory to those around us, whether that's in our neighborhoods, whether that's in our workplace, Lord, wherever it may be that You take us, Lord, that we would make a difference because we love You and we have connection with You, Lord Jesus, because we can do all things through You who gives us strength. So we thank You for this word. We thank You for these things. May You allow it to penetrate our hearts and speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. That's the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit and about You is that You meet us where we're at, Lord. You begin to teach us the little things, Lord, that we need to know for that moment and for that time, Lord. And so allow Your Spirit to just begin to work in our lives today, Lord. We give You these things. We give You this day. In Jesus' name, amen.